We're pleased to partner again with the Allianz Richmond Marathon, which also features the CarMax Richmond Half Marathon and VCU Health Richmond 8K, all on November 16, 2024. These scenic races are known for their amazing course support and downhill finish. Use code AMR2VA for $10 off the full or half marathon at richmondmarathon.org. Thanks to ASPCA Pet Insurance for supporting Another Mother Runner. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Thanks to Storyworth for supporting Another Mother Runner. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase at storyworth.com/AMR.
Hi, friends. I am dropping in bright and early on this podcast to encourage you to go the distance with us. Go the Distance is our first ever endurance event, and it's happening April 20th and 21st. And we designed it so that you can challenge yourself appropriately at your fitness level. You can walk, you can run, you can walk, run, you can swim, you can bike, you can snowshoe, you can Peloton, you can do whatever you want. Well, maybe not snowshoe because it is probably springtime. But the point is that we want you to be able to taste that accomplishment, come out of hibernation, kickstart your spring, have a really good experience. Check out our link in the show notes for it. And hopefully you are excited to go the distance with us. Welcome to Many Happy Miles, a podcast that celebrates all type of forward movement, whether it's jumping up and down to cheer for the women's final four or playing a game of horse with your offspring. We're here to say yay to all of it. I'm Dimity McDowell, co-founder of Another Mother Runner.
And I'm Sarah Wessner Flynn, and I am saying yay to women's sports. Yay! I love it. Yay. I love it. Yeah. Final Four has been on, you know, well, last night my son and my husband were watching the women's game. I was doing something, and of course I heard Caitlin Clark's name, and I ran into the living room to watch her on the bandwagon with her for sure. It's exciting. I love it. I'm sure you're watching Dimity too.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I am definitely a fair weather fan. Like, I tuned in last night for the first time. So, like, I've heard Caitlin Clark's name a lot, but I have not really been following her season or any season of any team. But last night, man, I mean, it was the Elite Eight. So it was LSU versus Iowa, and then it was USC versus UConn. And I was trying to work. I was writing the Running Shorts review while I was watching the basketball, and it took me like an hour to write up one pair of shorts because I was so riveted. I mean, those women are just so freaking fast and talented. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked a little bit about women's sports on this show and about how hard it is to get coverage and to get people to be engaged. And we're going to talk in a minute about how that doesn't happen. You know, this is a one moment in time, right, as we say. Uh-huh. But holy cow, if we can keep up that excitement and that game stays, it's so fast paced. It's so beautiful to watch, and they make it look so easy. And that's what I was thinking about when I was watching. I'm like, whenever anybody makes a sport look easy, like you see a runner on the track and she's just like, her wheels are just turning, or, you know, they sink a three pointer, like, you know, they're like getting out of bed, or I think about it with rowing. If a boat is just like beautiful and together, like, you know that they're just so, so good and so worked so hard to get there.
Yes,
and
all that
it's
hard
just
work.
Really, really fun to see. I hate that someone had to lose both of those games because I want everyone to win because they are so talented. But yeah, it was a late night for me. I stayed up till 10. So, you know,
well, that is burning. Late. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I wanted to share a little bit about this new social media account that I have found. It's called Together with an X. So TOGETHXR. It's actually founded by four amazing athletes. So it's Alex Morgan, as we know from soccer, Chloe Kim, Simone Manuel, and Sue Bird, who they're all household names, and they came up with this platform. So it's definitely give them a follow on social media. They have merch and the shirt that says everyone watches women's sports, which I love. And it's in a cart. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to wear it to track meets because gosh darn it, do people need to pay more attention to women's sports? And I will shout it from the rooftops. There's a stat here that says women make up 44% of all participants in sport, yet only receive less than 16% of sports media coverage. So let's do our part to change that, shall we?
Yeah, I think I'll put it in my cart as well. It's a super cute shirt.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, you just had a very personal experience with this, Sarah, right?
Yeah. So on this past weekend, I was down at the Florida Relays in Gainesville, Florida, and our 4x400 meter relay, our girls, whatever you want to call them, they're young women. They broke a 20-year-old national record, which was so exciting. And it maybe was a little unexpected. I don't know what, but I've definitely noticed there's a shift in the media coverage that they've received so far compared to what another team in Texas, boys team, broke the 4x100 meter record last week. And that went viral. I could not open up any of my social media feeds without seeing somebody talk about this boys 4x1 team. Yes, incredible in their own right, but these girls broke a 20-year-old record. And like, I have had to nudge people to be like, hey, by the way, we broke a record. And I don't know what it is. I really can't put my finger on it. It's frustrating.
Well, and you had, and the same school, the boys just broke the 4x4 record. Mm-hmm. Was that outside, so that was a different thing, or were they expecting that?
It was indoor. We got a lot of attention. We do have a superstar. So I think when you have one superstar on the team, all eyes go to that team.
Okay.
And our girls, like, they're all amazing in their own right. In fact, their splits were almost the same across the board, which means that they're all contributing equally. And so I don't know what it is. Like, I think they're all superstars, but there's just not as much attention from the general public, I would say, about women's records than there are for men. I don't know. Like, I think just talking about it and putting it on platforms and like this Together platform, we just need to broaden those horizons. And, you know, I just see it in social media, like on Facebook, there's a group of adults who like to talk about track, and it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this group. And they are just like going nuts over these high school boys. And then there's one mention, oh, these girls broke a record. Yay. Like, I was like, come on. Like, why aren't we going crazy about this? But
yeah.
So it's interesting with the Final Four and like with the ratings being what they are. Like, and actually, you know what? Just to touch on that volleyball game that we talked about before, how so many people attended that. You watched it on TV. I didn't, right? And was it
the Nebraska one?
Like the final NCAA volleyball game. And that was that was like a big coup for sports, for women's sports, because so many people were into that. So if we can just like build on that momentum and it starts from high school and goes up all the way to professional sports, you know, let's try to make a difference there.
I agree. So we'll link to that together. I don't know how to say it. I mean, it's probably just together.
I think it's together. Yeah.
But, okay. Okay. So we'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But meanwhile, we are going to totally switch topics from basketball, track, women, to rucking. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into rucking, which by definition is a form of physical exercise that involves walking or hiking with a loaded backpack or a rucksack, typically over varying distances and terrain. Some of you have tried it before, we know, and others of you may have never even heard of it. But rucking has so many cool health benefits. It's said to burn 3 times the calories of walking without a backpack. It strengthens your back and shoulders. It helps with bone density. And it has, what I love the most, a low injury rate. Plus, it's really trendy right now. And I've seen it a lot on social media, and I'm not even on social media that much. So we wanted to talk about it because it is such a great alternative to running.
Yes. So before we bring on our guests, let's get into a little bit of the history of rucking, which has its roots in military training. The term is attached to the word rucksack, which is, of course, another name for a backpack. And in the military, soldiers often carry supplies on their backs in their rucksacks. So how did the practice transfer over into the mainstream? As Dimity mentioned, social media definitely helps. There's been lots of, you know, influencers and different, you know, CrossFitters and people like that who have shown about themselves rucking. And so does the increasing popularity of rucking events. There are some 500 ruck clubs in the country who put on events, which includes races and distances from 5Ks to ultra marathons, all while carrying weighted backpacks or vests.
So that leads us to our guest today, who is Sarah Sweeney, who is the race director for Tough Ruck, a nonprofit organization that supports service members and families of fallen service members. Having Sarah on is especially timely because she's gearing up to put on the annual Tough Ruck 26.2 in Boston on April 14th. We'll get into all of that with Sarah, plus the basics of rucking itself. So welcome, Sarah. Sarah with an H, another Sarah with an H.
So many of us.
I love it. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here this morning with you.
We're happy to have you, Sarah. So let's start off by you telling us more about yourself. So where do you live and what's your family dynamic? Do you have kids or fur babies or what?
Absolutely. So I live north of Boston, and we have three children, ages 4 to 18. So we have a busy household. I feel like we do a marathon almost every day. And my husband is still serving in the National Guard. He was active duty Army and an Afghanistan veteran. So obviously, the rucking cause is close to our hearts. And he has participated both in the military training side of it, as well as through Tough Ruck.
Nice, nice. And are you a rucker yourself, or what's your preferred form of exercise, Sarah?
So I have to confess, I'm kind of, you know, trending on the Peloton right now. I do ruck, but I have, I have deep dived into the influencer social media world of the Peloton craze. Mm-hmm. So between that, which, you know, the sort of low impact and rucking, it's been a great combination. We always say if you can walk, you can ruck. Maybe not quite as easy as that, but it's such an accessible, exciting activity. And I think it's, you know, it's a huge blend for all levels of athletes.
Yeah, so we're going to get into all of that because, like you said, it's so inclusive and hopefully a lot of our listeners will be intrigued to join. But first, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Tough Ruck and what led you to becoming the race director of the other Boston Marathon next week.
Well, and I should start out by saying Tough Ruck was founded in 2013, the year of the marathon bombing. And many of our ruckers were there at the finish line to join first responders in lending immediate aid to the wounded. We've been there since day one, me and the original 18 ruckers. And today this event has grown into, in large part because of the continued support of the Boston Marathon and the BAA, to an elite 1,000 that every year get together at dawn, the day before the Boston Marathon. They put on their rucksacks and they step off on this journey, right? 26.2. I think both of you have done that, right? But it's a little different with the weight and the camaraderie, the community it builds, and all for an awesome cause, all for charity. Yeah. And to see where we come from, where we are today, it's super exciting.
That's great. That's very cool. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end, but let's talk a little bit, just like dial it back a ton and just talk about the basics of rucking in general. So let's start with the equipment. Is there a special pack or vest that you need? Like if a listener is like, okay, I want to try it, what kind of equipment do they need?
Sure. So the rucksack, AKA the backpack, is filled with weight. You can do that from anything from sandbags, to bricks, to if you want to get all fancy, you can get the weighted specific weight plates. Some of them even come branded with some of your, you know, favorite vendors, perhaps, who support rucking. And you're going to carry this weight in a backpack or rucksack that fits your body. So one of the exciting things is, as you said, we have a community of 1,000. So I get to talk to like 600 of these athletes, you know, every year going in one-on-one with some of the training. We have a woman this year who's new to rucking, new to Tough Ruck, and she's like 4'4". So the traditional rucksack, whether it's something from a military store or something from, you know, a rucking brand, doesn't work for her, right? I mean, the back of the rucksack would hit her right behind the knees. So that doesn't make it workable. So really, it's about what fits your body. what fits you. We do recommend that whatever you purchase for a rucksack should have that chest strap. It should have that waist belt to be able to give you the support to carry the weight. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think we see when folks start out is not only are they carrying more weight than maybe their body is used to, they're also carrying that weight low. So one of the things that we like to do is make sure that you have some sort of cushion or elevation under your weight. Your weight should not be at the bottom mm-hmm. of the rucksack. Mm-hmm. That's a real easy way to sort of cut short your training. Your body feels the miles more. You're pounding with that weight as it's lower on your body, closer to your hips. If you carry it more to the middle of the back, to the upper part of your back, you're going to be able to not only train longer, but train better. And that's one of the things that we recommend for anyone starting out. And it's a simple, I mean, you can, like I said, you can get fancy if you visit us at Tough Rock and see, you know, some of the equipment our folks get. I mean, you can definitely go all in, right? It's addictive. You can also go down and go to your local store and just get a backpack. And it doesn't have to be a specific brand. It doesn't have to be. Your body and that weight is doing the work together.
So so just if I wanted to go try this, I could I just use my I mean, you said a chest strap and a waist strap that helps support the hips and the weight distribution, which I think is great. I mean, could I borrow my kids' like school backpack and sure. just go try it Absolutely. To see if I liked it? Okay. And talk a little bit about, you said sometimes people use too much weight. So again, we're talking, I'm going to go try it in my park. I'm going to walk. I don't know. Well, do you tell me how far someone should go for the first time? Like, how do you figure out how much weight you should start with and how far you should go?
Right. So all of it's going to be unique around the individual and sort of their fitness or athletic experience, but it is a different motion. With rucking, you're also marching. So you're not running with this weight. You could march very, very fast, but it's a different movement to ruck than it is to run. And that being said, we always recommend folks starting out with 10 to 15 pounds.
Okay.
And, you know, your initial ruck would typically be between like a 5K and a 5 miler, and probably pretty level surface when you're starting out because you're getting used to, you know, what the pace is, what the movement is. But yes, okay. you can absolutely grab your kid's backpack and try it. I think it's a, you know, that is what, you know, gets folks out and to feel the workout, and you're really working your whole body.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into those, the benefits of that workout. We mentioned a little bit in the intro, but can you just talk about what you've seen and as a rucker yourself, as your husband's rucking, like what are some of those really great health benefits that rucking can bring?
We talked a lot about the marching aspect of it, along with the weight. And so, I mean, let's face it.
Can I interrupt you for one second, Sarah? So when you say marching, like I know it has military roots. Is that a different, like I would think of it as hiking. Is it different than that? Or tell me what marching means to you.
Sure. So the marching itself is, we sort of differentiate it between running, for example. And so it's not the pace necessarily that the focus is on. It's about the movement of your body. So rucking, we talked about the military origins. If you look at, there's great events out there that our community is part of through Tough Ruck, such as the Baton March, the Norwegian Foot Ruck. All of these focus both on the ruck and the weight, but the movement of the body for the marching. And you are committing when you do this to march very similar to a military formation as opposed to running. And there's not an exact manual for that, but you know the difference with your body when you feel that you're not running, right? Mm-hmm. And that you're purposely taking each step forward.
Okay.
And so I think what our community has found, and we're celebrating 12 years of Tough Ruck this year. And so I will say a lot of our original folks are hitting their middle age, feeling their bodies working in a different way, right? But they're able to continue rucking because of the you know, some of the differences and the less impact on the knees, the less impact on the hips, and be able to continue on with this form of exercise in a successful way. Sometimes that does mean downgrading your weight. Sometimes that means that your, you know, pace is not quite where you want it. But it continues to be an accessible form of exercise for all ages. I think this year we have folks who are registered from, I want to say, 18 to 68 years old for this year's marathon.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Hang with us. We'll be right back with more rucking right after these messages.
Daydreaming about fall marathon? We're pleased to partner with the Allianz Richmond Marathon, CarMax Richmond Half Marathon, and VCU Health Richmond 8K, all held in 2024 on Saturday, November 16. One of the many reasons these Richmond races are perfect for so many folks is Richmond is within just one day's drive for 50% of the U.S. population. Who knew? Once there, you can get pretty much anywhere in 20 minutes. It's one of the things that makes the course so spectator-friendly. Richmond's 26.2-miler is dubbed America's Friendliest Marathon, thanks to its many enthusiastic volunteers and spectators. Each of the scenic courses showcases some of the city's favorite attributes: street art, river views, historic architecture, and beautiful parks. The race routes treat runners to a unique and unforgettable tour of Virginia's capital that ends with a renowned downhill finish and riverfront post-race party, complete with local craft beer and pizza. Mm-mm. And swag alert, full and half marathon participants get a long sleeve technical shirt, a hat, a finisher's medal, and the race's famous fleece finisher blanket. For all the race details, course map, and to register, go to richmondmarathon.org. Use code AMR2VA for $10 off the half or full marathon. Again, go to richmondmarathon.org and use code AMR2VA for $10 off the half or full marathon. That code again, AMR, the numeral 2VA. AMR2VA at richmondmarathon.org. As the pet parent of a French bulldog and two bonded brother cats, I know that every pet is one of a kind, and so is their journey. While every playful moment is a memory in the making, sometimes our dogs and cats are a little too good at getting into trouble. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/AMR. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. There were some stories from my mother's life that I truly never got tired of hearing. She grew up during the Depression with five siblings on an Ohio farm, so the anecdotes often revolved around working the land or going without, but they were always infused with so many laughs, such as the Christmas tale when one of her brothers ripped the head off of a giant paper doll after her sister had stomped on his new plastic play gas station. It was like her family's own twisted Gift of the Magi story. Thankfully, about a decade ago, I found the perfect gift that captured her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or a mother figure in your life for all time. Storyworth is offering $10 off your first purchase at storyworth.com/AMR. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Some questions I especially love learning the answers to. What were your friends like in college? And were you ever teased about anything as a child? Oh yeah, with five siblings, there were lots of fodder for that one. Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I truly treasure my mom's Storyworth book. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you will all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/AMR. That's Storyworth, storyworth.com/AMR to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, so we mentioned rucking clubs. So is that the best way to get started, Sarah? Or, I mean, is it okay to just do it on your own? I mean, what does most people's journey look like when they start rucking?
Well, we are big fans of communities. And I think that that's a huge part of, you know, keeping your rucking journey to continue on and learning from others who have been part of the community. You're right when you talk about the increase in rucking groups throughout the country. I mean, we always think that, you know, rucking, it's not only a full body workout, it's, you know, it mentally strengthens your body and mind. And having that community support is critical. A lot of rucking is on trails. It is off-roading. I think the big difference that you'll find, for example, if you talk to any of our ruckers, especially those who were participating previously on the marathon course and now are participating in our off-site course for Tough Ruck, you miss the cheering of the community, right? You miss having that. It gets that energy gets you through when you've hit that, you know, crunch at mile 18 and you're just thinking like, oh, how do I get, you know, how do I just get to the next mile? And so whether it's wrecking in groups for fun or finding that person that you're going with to do these different events, because it can be very solitary. And I think that is one of the largest challenges to it. So by creating your own community within this, it's a different space.
Mm-hmm. And up in Boston, do you guys have, or does Tough Ruck have like a local meetup, or is there some kind of training program that goes into this event? Because it is a substantial event to do 26.2 miles.
Absolutely. So we do. We have many meetups. We have a great community group, you know, where we give all sorts of informal recommendations in terms of what works, footwear, rucksacks, you know, what you carry for fuel. I know we have one of our original crews, they do cold fried chicken at mile 13.
Ooh.
And like that just gets
Why
them,
is it cold? You know? Why does it have to be cold?
I know, right? But like it is and I always joke that it's very possible that, you know, depending on what you bring your rucksack, you may gain weight on Tough Ruck for that brief experience. But you know, the benefits of how to, you know, fuel smartly. You know, we talk about it with your traditional marathons, right? And what you need mm-hmm. to give your body sort of that quick load of boost. And we have a lot of fun because, you know, we can certainly do that smartly with a lot of our electrolyte products. And we also, you know, have great recommendations for Swedish fish and pickles. So,
oh, my
you know, it's a whole mix.
My favorites, yes.
You mentioned footwear. Is that, for someone who wants to try it, are running shoes like the best call, or what kind of footwear if you wanted to just dabble before you invest money?
Sure. So I would say running shoes or hiking boots would be a great way to start out. Some of the different more competitive rucks, for example, will have certain dress requirements, we call them. So for Tough Ruck, for example, we have civilian dress and uniform dress. The big difference is really the footwear. So for uniform dress, folks are really wearing the boots. And that is a different experience, I think, in some ways a more challenging experience. And we have about, you know, half of our folks who take part in, you know, boot footwear, on the other half in sneakers. So, you know, I think it's what fits you, right? I mean, and that's the exciting part about rucking is it's really functional fitness and you can choose, you know, what level you're entering this at and where you want to take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool.
We do recommend socks, however, that individual toe socks. Mm. That makes a huge difference. What we see a lot is, you know, blistering, ankle sprains. That's probably the biggest in terms of medical piece that mm-hmm. we're trying to keep healthy is your feet. And we're very fortunate. We have a whole group of podiatrists that actually come out to our medical tents. And they're there all day. Nice. And we've had a great partnership with, you know, Focus on Feet.
mm-hmm. Just talking a little bit about that and then the injury component, are there any things like definite don'ts? You mentioned, you know, the socks, for example. Anything that you definitely would tell beginners to avoid and just to avoid injury? So like, I imagine you have to be pretty careful when you're adding the weights to start off with.
Definitely. So packing that weight high, I think, is our biggest recommendation. I know we spoke about it, but it's a different feel on your body. So making sure that you have that and making sure that you're hydrating, your body is burning calories in a different way. And, you know, those two pieces are really critical.
Mm-hmm. And just explain a little bit more about packing the weight when you said you provide like it maybe insulation. Like, are we talking like a pillow and then a weight on top of that inside the backpack? I'm just trying to get like a sense of like what that looks like.
It is as simple as that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pillow. You can put a pillow under there. You know, we have many folks on the military side who really pack their ruck as if, you know, they were packing for a combat situation. So, and many times that would include sleeping bag or clothes or MREs. For your new wrecker or your civilian, that can easily be substituted out with towels, with a pillow, something that's bringing that weight more elevated.
Got it.
Nice, nice. Okay, so let's talk. You've talked a lot about Tough Ruck, but and they have a military tie, as you talked about, but they are open to anybody, right? Is your event open to anybody, Sarah?
It is. Tough Ruck brings together the military, first responder, and civilian community. We're excited to have folks represented, I think, from nearly 40 states this year, as well as three countries.
Wow.
How long does it take to go to Ruck 26.2 miles?
So last year, our finisher, I was just over 4 hours, our top finisher. Pretty darn impressive with a, you know, 35 pound plus rucksack. We do offer for Tough Ruck two weight categories, a lightweight and a heavyweight. So lightweight is 15 pounds plus and heavyweight would be 35 pounds. So that's going to make a difference in most folks' speed as well. But we are committed. We stay there for everyone to cross the finish line. So I believe our final record last year was right at the 11 hour mark, just a little after. And so those, you know, it's a big span, but it is a, certainly folks are diving in and taking the challenge.
Yeah. Do most rucking events, do you know, do they have two different weight categories, that lighter, heavier one that you talked about?
Most of them do. Yeah. Most of them
okay.
do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into your event a little bit, Sarah. As we mentioned, it's not the Boston Marathon, but it actually occurs the day before, but it is still supported by the BAA or the Boston Athletic Association. And you kind of alluded to this, but tell us what the tie-in to the BAA is with the Tough Ruck Marathon.
So in 2013, we had a group of 18 ruckers who gathered at Hopkinton before dawn and full military gear. They stepped off to ruck the entire course of the Boston Marathon. And they did this with their rucksacks, which at the time, our weight class was 50 pounds plus. And on the back of each ruck, they carried names of fallen service members. And so they would carry these streamers or ribbons on their bag with names of individuals who lost their lives in military service or related to their military service. So it was a, you know, very poignant sort of marathon with a mission joining up for Boston. They stepped off early, obviously pace a little bit slower, stayed on the right-hand side. So they were out of the path of the elite athletes. And they arrived at the finish line shortly before the marathon bombings. And three of our ruckers who were there jumped into action along with many of the first responders that were there and literally worked to save lives. Mm. And these three individuals were honored with the Soldier's Medal, which is the highest medal from the Department of Defense to award a military personnel for heroism in a civilian capacity. And so these were the first three individuals to ever be awarded this medal in Massachusetts.
Wow.
So what they did that day and what so many others did that day, you know, I think Boston clearly came together. And through that, the Tough Wreck has been able to continue because of the generous support of the BAA for security reasons and for safety and for the event growing. We take place for the Tough Wreck Marathon the day before Boston. We receive the first of the official Boston Marathon medals, thanks to the BAA. And so every Tough Wreck finisher is still awarded the official Boston Marathon medal, which is a really special recognition. And we receive 1,000 of these medals every year. We have 1,000 Wreckers every year. And each of the medals that are presented to the finishers are presented by the family of a fallen service member or fallen first responder.
That's so special. That is, I mean, that gives me chills. Mm-hmm. I love that they have, you have both the Boston Marathon medals and the families handing them out. That's really lovely. So you said 1,000 a couple times. I mean, is this hard to get into? Is this something that you have to apply to? How does it work? Is it lottery?
So we open up registration on Veterans Day every year. We sold out, I believe, the end of January this year.
Okay.
So you certainly, you know, have some time to think if this is going to be on your bucket list and it's something that you're training to do. This year, I'd say about 20% of our field are first-time Wreck participants in terms of, you know, any sort of competitive event. And we are so excited that this tradition, you know, continues and is alive and well. We start the event now in Concord, and the event steps off over the historic North Bridge in the National Park, and then participants will complete a 26.2-mile certified course, and we return back in Concord. We do a loop. So okay. We invite anyone to certainly check out toughwreck.org, to, you know, join our community group to learn a little bit more about wrecking, receive those great insider tips, right? And and see if it's a fit.
I love that. Is Tough Wreck, is it solely Boston based, or is that a more of a national thing and you do the Boston chapter?
So we do have other events. Tough Wreck Boston is our signature event. We are in the works for another half marathon in New England for this year. Our community grew significantly during COVID with a lot of the shadow events where we had national participation. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to keep growing, but this is certainly our signature event.
That's great. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing everything about wrecking and your amazing event. I'm getting excited. I'm running Boston for the first time. And
that is so exciting.
Yeah. But when you're talking about the significance of the medals, I'm like, oh my gosh, like Dimity said, I got chills and I'm so excited. So we'll both be gearing up for our big events, respective events in a week from now.
I was going to say it's a big week coming up. Well, we will certainly be cheering you on.
Thank you.
Love that. Thanks, Sarah.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Our podcast was produced today by Barry Medore of Fire on the Bluff in St. Paul, Minnesota.